you take over to give us the presentation. I'm told that today is a birthday for, I'm not sure whether you say former or previous or ex chairperson of the SABC board, Dr. Ben Guban. Today is his birthday. Wishing him well wherever he is on his day. I won't tell you the age, Honorable Mrutwa, because Dr. Mngube is here. At least if Dr. Mngube was not here, I was going to tell you the age. What will be the age? So let's just leave it at that. But most welcome. I'm also aware that the group CEO of SABC, she was birthdaying Friday last week on the 18th of October. It was the group CEO of SABC birthday, Uma Mulula. I hope she enjoyed her birthday through over the weekend and so on. Members who are going to start, next to me I've got Ukanyiso Mkhize standing in for Ngoma, who's busy with the PRRR reports. So requested that probably they must focus on that so that they can finish their reports. So that when we finish, we just put in the ICASA report on the main report. Also, most welcome. members, I'm not sure whether there's something you want to say, but in terms of the apologies, I've got one for Honorable Mthambi who's attending the AP, the African Parliament, started yesterday. Honorable Van der Merwe from IFP, given organizational task. Honorable Kekane, attending some matters in Gauteng. Honorable Nivot Broche, not feeling well. And the minister not around in Finland. he has also sent his apology. He's only coming back from Finland today. So, and also my Nadi song. Those are the apologies I have. The one I don't have, I assume that they are still coming. But we are not going to derail you, ICASA, from taking us through. They find us moving. If not finished, you can proceed. You've got 45 minutes to give us your presentation, everything combined.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, and honorable members of the portfolio committee. I just want to express my sincere gratitude of the leadership you have shown in trying to get ICASA to cultivate human excellence in doing its work. And this was even more pronounced last week when we came and only to find that the processes were not followed religiously. And I'm happy that if our leaders insist that processes must be followed religiously, it also helps us at ICASA to really strengthen our processes and procedures on the basis of what our portfolio committee want to do. I am not going to introduce all the staff members at this juncture, but my CEO, Mandla, will do so when his turn, you know, comes on board. We are running a very tight schedule at ICASA. We missed the council meeting last week, and I ordered all the councillors, you know, to attend to the council meeting while I brought my colleagues here. These are unheralded hero and heroines at ICASA who work very hard and relentlessly to make ICASA a better organization. While it is not always my intention to single out some distinguished workers, I think Clarinda really deserves to be singled out, who is our CFO. The work that she did in bringing ICASA to where it is now, it's highly, highly commendable. I wish the country can have about 100 more Clarindas, and many good things could happen. We really appreciate her, even though Mama, she's the only woman, but surrounded with this bevy of men, and we will protect him to the last bite. Now, coming to the subject, the three presentations that are going to be made, I will just give you a quick overview of where we are at ICASA, just the state of art, and then I will have my chief executive officer, who will then introduce the members, and then after that give his report, and then we will conclude by the chief financial officer. At ICASA, and through your guidance, we had 8 strategic objectives which you all helped us to consolidate those into 5, and we are grateful to that. You know, and the vision mission has not changed, and all those strategic objectives did not change. When we were here, our Honorable Chair said, you have this organizational structure which has been working for so long and never changed, never tinkered with. We took your advice, went back and did what was called an interim structure, where regulatory spheres were removed from the CEO and the councillors gave those special attention, and their role was to play an oversight, and I must say I must commend all the councillors who did this oversight. They were not trying to police, you know, the operators, you know, the managers, but they always inspected the work, you know, and the unfolding drama that took place at ICASA. Today, I can safely say, because of that interim structure, ICASA did manage to accomplish its goal in a more excellent way. We also want to say that at ICASA, we introduced a dashboard. Most of us were grumbling about that dashboard when it was introduced, but it really policed every activity that we are doing at ICASA. And now that dashboard in our realignment process will be brought to the operational level, that even the sweeper must tell us at ICASA how many dustbins has he picked up. This is how we are trying to manage ICASA. And so far, I think it has worked a little miracle, and I'm sure that with your guidance, we shall continue to do that. We now have 5 very pronounced programs: licensing and compliance, engineering, technology, markets and competition, and consumers. And then all those are working hand in hand. And we do know that with the realignment team, as soon as we get an approval of this annual report, I shall go back and gather all the staff members and say, now we have a blessing from our PCC, and now we can now go ahead and really do the realignment. And I know that is very deep in your heart. And when we start doing the realignment, you will see that most of those items that were said and we did not accomplish, we shall be able to account for in a very scientific way. And that is how we are moving ICASA forward. And Councillor Starkey is here, but really was supposed to be that side. But because of his zealousness of supporting me, he has decided to come here, and I also accept that. It is that kind of spirit that we want to cultivate at ICASA. People must be passionate, and people must work even harder to make ICASA work. Now, without wasting time, over to you, CEO. You can take us further.
Good morning, Chair, honorable members. The second part will deal with the report of the Chief Financial Officer. But before I do that, can I just quickly, if you allow me, Chair, to introduce the team? we have the, on my right, is Jeff Cox. He's responsible for monitoring and evaluation and performance information. And then I have the CFO behind me, Glorinda Simpson. And with her is, next to her is Sipo Tsotetsi, who's responsible for licensing and compliance. And we have also Peter Krutus, responsible for markets and competition. Next to him is Ronnie Sieber, who is looking after engineering and technology. And in front we have Posa Mashangwane, who's responsible for consumer affairs. So if you allow me, Chair, can I just ask the CFO to give a financial overview? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair, members. My presentation covers four areas. The first one being the report of the AG, our financial statements for the year under review and compliance with laws and regulations. For the 12-13 financial year, ICASA achieved an unqualified audit report or opinion. The AG in the report drew attention to three areas in the financial statements which they deemed material. The first note is the restatement of corresponding figures. In previous years, we received qualifications on the NRS receivable and payable balances. So in order to avoid a qualification in the current year, we had to restate the prior year balances. We had to basically effect material corrections to those balances. The second area is the significant uncertainties or the contingent liabilities reflected in Note 27 to the financial statements. Currently, there are a number of lawsuits in progress against the authority. The outcome at this stage is unknown, hence we are unable to make any provisions in a financial statement, so we've disclosed any potential future expenditure in the notes to the financials. And then also another material disclosure is the impairment of the NRF receivables. During the current year, we have had to write off material balances reflected under receivables, balances that were raised due to incorrect application of the regulations which were deemed not recoverable. Then we move to the statement of financial performance. It's basically your income statement. It reflects your income and expenditure for the year. In the statement of financial performance, we disclose predominantly the income and expenditure related to running the operations of ICASA. You'll see that we are funded by government grants. We've also got additional income related to interest on investments. Our expenditure is purely salaries and wages and also operating expenditure. You'll see finance costs reflected. It's predominantly relating to our finance lease. And we've got a surplus of 14 million, which is not cash-backed, but I'll talk to that figure when we get to the reconciliation between the cash budget versus our actual expenditure. Then we move to the statement of financial position. The big amounts to take note of are the National Revenue Fund receivables, the $789 million. That is the balances or the debtors reflected, money owing by the industry. And then we've got cash and cash equivalents of $155 million, predominantly relating to a balance brought forward from last year and also ring-fenced funding that was not spent in the current year. And then under liabilities, we've got a finance lease obligation. It's not actually a finance lease as such. It's more an operating lease that meets the criteria for recognition as a finance lease. Then we've also got another material balance, which is your National Revenue Fund payables, the $824 million. That is the money owing to Treasury and the DOC. The difference between the receivable and the payable is a cash balance sitting in our bank account. We've got 30 days to transfer monies collected to the DOC, so we utilize the 30 days to generate interest. And then we've also got a provision for bonuses. It's just a provision. It's not cash expenditure as such. And then we move on to the cash flow statement. Cash received from Department of Communication, that is the voted funds. It's $405 million. Then we've got cash received by administered revenue. $969 million is the money collected from the industry. And then the finance income, which is our interest on investments. We've also got cash paid by administered revenue, the $943 million, which is the money transferred that we have collected during the year and transferred to National Treasury. Then you'll see further down, we've got cash flows from investing activities is $17 million, money spent on purchases of property, plant and equipment, etc. So there is $155 million sitting in our bank account at the end of March. Then we move to the reconciliation of our cash budget, our voted funds versus our actual expenditure. You'll see that the difference between if we were accounting on the cash basis versus our current accrual basis is the investment in our property, plant and equipment, which brings us down to the $14 million disclosed in the statement of financial performance. And then also in the audit report, the AG reported on non-compliance with laws and regulations. The first one being a material adjustment to the financial statements that was effected after 31st May. And another area of importance is the fruitless and wasteful and irregular expenditure, which was reported as a non-compliance. The root cause for these findings being with regard to the material misstatement, the late adjustment or entries being processed through the financials towards or on the 31st of May, the date of submission. And the second issue around the fruitless and wasteful irregular expenditure is the circumventing of supply chain management processes and procedures by staff within and outside of the supply chain management division. And the last issue of non-compliance is the internal audit function that did not evaluate and develop recommendations on the effectiveness and efficiency of controls. Currently, the internal audit function is under review. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. The next presentation is on the part on the performance information. The area that we are going to cover, Chair and Honourable Members, is to look at the performance of ICASA and the budget that has been allocated to the various programs. We'll touch a bit on the Auditor General report in terms of the findings and also look at the predetermined objectives. We'll also want to highlight some of the legal issues that we have dealt with during the current year and the review and the number of cases that we have dealt with. And then at the program level, we will not dwell too much into the achievements, but we will obviously want to, because of time, go straight into the non-achievements and how we intend to address the non-achievements. In terms of the allocation, we have spent, as ICASA, about 85% of the budget that was allocated to ICASA. And there was a an underspendure of about 63 million, and that is basically related to the allocation tied to ring fence project. And the ring fence project, we will talk in details during the Q&A, is around the procurement of the broadcasting equipment related to postal equipment and also the end-to-end automated system for spectrum, and also the ICASA fleet monitoring and the and compliance capital equipment. There was also a savings that we actually made, and this is also as a result of perhaps cutting down on unnecessary consumables of about 2 million from the total budget that was allocated to us. It's also important, Chair and Honourable Members, to also reflect on the CAPEX expenditure, that at this stage there has been a bit of a slow expenditure in terms of capital the CAPEX budget. And again, one can indicate the contributing factors being one on the relocation of head office. As you will recall, there was about 20 million set aside for the relocation, but we'll talk more into details as to how we have actually dealt with the issue pertaining to the relocation. And then the second part, again, is around the procurement challenges that we have had in as far as the broadcasting equipment proposal services is concerned. So those were sort of like the attributing factors in as far as the slow expenditure with regards to CAPEX. Again, we also did not spend money related to our software for the LS system, but in the first quarter we will be able to reflect as to what progress we have made in as far as that is concerned. Without necessarily going to bullet point by bullet point on the report of the Auditor General, because the notes in the annual report indicate in details what are the expenditure in as far as fruitless and wasteful expenditure concern and irregular expenditure. But just to give an idea that the bulk of the expenditure related to fruitless and wasteful can be attributed to the previous financial year. In other words, in the previous financial year, we were not able to disclose the fruitless and wasteful expenditure. And when the audit was done, it has to be reflected in the current year. Hence the rise in the expenditure regarding fruitless and wasteful. And on the irregular expenditure, you'll notice that of the 4.2 million, there was 1.3 irregular expenditure also related to fruitless and to irregular expenditure for the previous financial year. Now, the approach that we have taken in as far as addressing the fruitless and wasteful expenditure and irregular expenditure, we have currently compiled a submission which obviously through the governance structures within ICASA need to look at the condonation of some of the fruitless and wasteful expenditure. So there is a formal process that we have to undertake before council can actually condone any expenditure related to fruitless and wasteful or irregular. So, and then in terms of the condemnation, there are some on the list that are we have put forward to the Audit and Risk Committee to condone. And there are some that require further investigation. And the last aspect is some of them we have agreed that where there is a punitive or any corrective measures that must be taken, we will have to embark on those ones. So there are three areas in as far as that I'm highlighting in terms of dealing with the fruitless, wasteful, and irregular expenditure. So in other words, this process is not yet complete. Obviously, when we come back at some stage, we'll be able to give a proper report as to how we have dealt with this particular issue. Now, without necessarily going into details, I think the CFO has already indicated what were the challenges around the internal audit function, and it's currently under review. We had an acting, we contracted somebody to look after this particular function for 6 months, and during that period of 6 months, official was able to at least meet the minimum requirement of the internal audit function, meaning that the 3-year rollout plan for the internal audit function was eventually approved by the Audit and Risk Committee. In terms of investigation, I think it's also reflected in the annual report that we have to disclose if there's any investigation underway, and this particular section basically indicate what has been investigated. It is within the supply chain where we have actually suspended the supply chain management manager, and then there was a process that was started in terms of the hearing, and the manager then decided to resign before the process could be completed. Thereafter, we have then handled all the issues related to the investigation to the Hawks. So on a quarterly basis, the Hawks will interact with the authority to give an update as to how far we have progressed with that particular matter. On litigations or legal matters, the legal matters covers two sections. There's one on litigation, and there's other parties on the CCC matters. Now, honorable members and chair, you will notice that there were one matter that was settled in terms of the agreement that we have made with CENTEC on an outstanding debt related to the spectrum license fees. So that was the arrangement that we have settled with CENTEC. And then there are four cases whereby the trial dates need to be resolved or determined. And one case where there is a withdrawal of a case and we're waiting the outcome of that. And there's one case that still needs to be reinstated for further hearing. So just at a high level, this is where we are in terms of litigation. With regard to the CCC matters, we have 11 cases. One is still pending, and then you have two that have been postponed, and there are details for those cases. And three have been settled. Three, there were warning, notices issued to the respective operators that were non-compliant, and then the other two are primarily inward looking in terms of ICASA processes. So those are the 11 cases that the CCC had looked at in the last financial year. Now, with regard to the Auditor General's report, especially around predetermined objectives, we are in agreement that we were able, of the total of 42 targets that we planned for the year, 28 of those targets were not achieved. We will go into details in terms of the intervention, and those represent a total of 67% total planned targets that were not achieved. Just in summary, one can indicate that of the 42 2, for an example. If we go strategic objective by strategic objective, and we make a breakdown, one will realize that we had under the strategic objective that primarily focuses on operational efficiencies, you had 10 non-achieved. And the 10 non-achieved deliverables, the bulk of it, which is 6, were primarily related to human resources. And that centered around the organizational realignment. So in the new financial year, with the appointment of the of PE corporate or the consultant, we'll be able to address those 6 non-deliverable issues. So that already addresses how we are going to deal with that non-achievement. And then there's two cases, especially around the same strategic objective on operational efficiencies. This relates to the CRM, that is your customer relations management project. At the time when the findings were made, or when the end of the financial year, this deliverable was not achieved. But in the first quarter of the current financial year, we have already addressed that particular aspect. The LS system, which is the
welcome. You can raise your issue.
Sorry, Chairperson. I just wanted to know if Mr. Tlamini could perhaps just through you, if we could just go to the relevant pages, because it is stagnant on the display at present. And we just want to know if it's in addition, or if he can just point to the right page for us to follow him when he is reporting. It's very difficult to follow when he's just doing a verbal report. Thank you.
See you.
Okay, Chair. I will just let me perhaps take note of the correction, and then we'll probably revisit the details during the Q&A. This is a schematic or a graphical presentation of what is it that we have planned and what is it that we have achieved and not achieved. So, and it is arranged according to the strategic objective. So it is basically to re-emphasize the fact that 67% of the total that we planned, we did not achieve. So it's just a schematic diagram to give a better picture. Because of time, the achievement slides, I would suggest perhaps not go into details and maybe go into the non-achieve. Because the achieve, as I've said, they are in specific areas, and we can talk during the Q&A. So if you allow me, can we just go to the non-achieve slides, if that's permissible. Now, the non-achieved chair, which is on, the non-achieved, if we go strategic objective by strategic objective.
From slide 40?
Yeah,
slide 40. If it's a slide or page 40, if it's a page.
Yeah, page 40, my apologies. Chair, on the non-achieved, this is related to the strategic objective around ensuring effective HDI BE participation in the sector. You will recall that we plan to collate information around HDI data and so forth. So at the time when we closed the books, we had not yet completed this particular process. But we can elaborate in details during the Q&A as to what progress we have made. The long and short of it is that this particular strategic objective, as we speak, has already been achieved in the current year, but in the previous year, we did not achieve it. On the allocation of accumulated 1,000 megahertz for mobile communication, it is quite clear that at the time when we were finalizing the annual report or at the end of the financial year, the national radio frequency plan was not yet in place. it was still in draft and going through the process of being approved. But as we speak, this particular deliverable has been dealt with. But we have the general manager engineering who will assist in terms of dealing with the questions if they need any clarity. The other deliverable is on the seven frequency spectrum licenses that were supposed to have been issued on 2.6 and 800 megahertz. This could not be achieved, one, because it was dependent on the ministerial policy directive. So we had deferred this particular deliverable to the current financial year, and with the hope that if there is any ministerial directive that will address this particular deliverable, then we'll be able to report on it. There was also a need to look at the budget with respect to this particular deliverable. So we have not yet achieved it as we speak because of the ministerial policy directive that we are waiting. Now, on increasing connectivity of South Africans on broadband, we had a GIS map on broadband coverage for publication online. Again, the final approval at that time was to defer the matter to the current year, under 2013-2014, but I can confirm that this one has also been achieved. With regard to the rapid deployment guidelines, this process, the document in terms of compilation, it has been completed, but it was deferred to Council for approval in April. Similarly, the implementation of local loop unbundling through the reduction of PC prices and so forth, the draft regulations to implement local loop were also submitted to Council for consideration. So these three aspects, in as far as this particular strategic objective, Peter will give an update in terms of where we are. But I can, as I said, the report is looking for the in the past year, but we are already in a new year and certain things have already taken place. Chair, the introduction of market-based opportunities and other innovative approaches in access spectrum. The deliverables, the deliverable on this one has also been deferred because it's also dependent on the ministerial policy directive. The draft framework on the for market-based licensing of some mobile spectrum, this was also not tabled at the council because there was a need to look at the reviewing the business plan. So we had to revisit and look at whether is this achievable within the current year under review, meaning 2012-2013. And on the support to rapid uptake of new technologies, as I said, the final framework then on the type approval was not in place, but now it has been dealt with. With regard to ensuring universal service and access, the final report has actually been dealt with. It's complete and has been presented to the authority or council for approval. So I'm just trying to say that the non-achieved, we have made some intervention and we have made progress in the first quarter of the new financial year. With respect to the report on SAPO and achievement in terms of universal service obligations, there is a final report that we have done. On migration to availability of choice and diversity of broadcasting services, honorable members, chairperson, the findings document has been concluded on this particular matter. As you will see, the defining documents that was outlining the framework for the introduction of a new regulatory framework for broadcasting services, the target was June 22. So that has been dealt with. The introduction of a comprehensive compliance and enforcement framework. This is the part where we were saying we had challenges around the postal monitoring equipment. The broadcasting one, we have already dealt with that. We have achieved that. We have procured the broadcasting monitoring equipment. But with respect to the postal one, because the equipment has to be sourced from abroad, we have sought the approval of the minister because the equipment is not available in the country. So we have sought the approval of the minister. As soon as we get the approval from the minister, we'll be able to procure the postal monitoring equipment. So that is the intervention that we have put there. Now, the next section is around improve operational processes and performance, migration of existing system to the new spectrum management system. This is the LS system. That is a system that will assist us to be able to identify who are the license holders in terms of spectrum licenses concerned, in terms of the billing. We had challenges before in terms of the accuracy of the billing, but with the procurement of the LS system, I think the process is already underway currently to procure the LS system, and that will assist us to go forward. So we should not anticipate to have any challenges in the future in as far as spectrum is concerned. Now, the CRM, I've already touched on it to say that at a time when we were closing our books, the customer relations management system was not yet in place. But as we can speak now, this particular system is now up and running and is being already being utilized by the Consumer Affairs Division. On the organizational realignment, we have concluded a contract with the one consultant to look at the entire organization in terms of how ICASA should be realigned in terms of the ICT sector. So we are hoping before the end of the financial year, this particular project would have been concluded, and we should be able to know exactly the type of structure ICASA requires in terms of the needs of the ICT sector. If we move on again, Chair, to the other aspect, again, the non-achieved on strategic objective number 7, which is around operational efficiency, as I've indicated, there were 10 when I was talking about the summary. And 6 of them are actually hinging on organizational realignment. So the intervention will primarily be the outcome of the work that the consultants will produce. So again, that will be achieved once that has been done before the end of the financial year. The implementation of the flow-centric and click-view system, that is an area that we have looked at, and we are actually attending to it in the current financial year. The self-funding model. On the self-funding model, Chair and Honourable Members, the TOC has been provided with input from ICAS in terms of what sort of self-funding model is required. As we speak, we have not yet come up with a value proposition as to what sort of self-funding model should we have in place. There are different permutations in terms of either keeping a certain percentage and all that of the revenue collected to assist the ICASA in terms of their operation. So we are hoping that before the end of the financial year, because DOC has already concluded on the assessment, we will take a proposal to the DOC and then give feedback before the end of the financial year. Now, the other aspect is on removing, excuse me, Chair, removing barriers to competition. This is a an issue around the IESCNS licenses, and the authority agreed that this particular matter must be postponed because it's dependent on the policy directive. This is, again, you can't move because we need a policy directive. Moving forward, Chair, again, on the analysis report on the application for subscription broadcasting services, I think we have already come up with interventions on this particular matter. But I would suggest that because of time, maybe we can dwell into details in terms of where we are and see what the city will at least take us through on this particular matter. The same applies to the secondary markets. Work has already started, and we'll give members feedback in as far as this is concerned, including the primary markets. So there is a report that we will share with the honourable members as to how far we have progressed, how many applicants we have received, and how many applicants are eligible to go through the system. The draft regulations on the signal distribution market, including price control, the regulation was published in September, but as I said, Council did make a decision on this particular matter to approve the findings document in April, but again, Chair and honourable members will get an update during Q&A. The research report on the review of the existing numbering, that is now the audit, this particular project has been postponed to the 2014-2015 financial year, and this is as a result of not having adequate financial resources. On the accounting separation of regulation, a draft has been developed, and the project will only be completed in the next financial year. In terms of ensuring the South Africa retail price of ICT fairly reflects cost, the benchmarking report on pricing is due in June this particular year. So we will only be able to complete this particular outcome in the third quarter of 2015. But again, Chair and honourable members, we can have a conversation around some of the issues for purpose of clarity and so forth. This brings me to the end of my presentation, honourable Chair and honourable members. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members of the Portfolio Committee. As you can see, ICASA is a fast-moving train. There are a lot of things that we have put underway, and we also know that regulatory issues are usually fluid and volatile because our industry of 400 billion Rand is also fluid and volatile. Lots of changes come in, and sometimes when these changes happen, intervening variables happen. Some of these happen under the aegis of the policy, and some of them are directly related to us. And since we are trying to make policy and regulatory almost inextricably interwoven, we are in constant dialogue with the policy, and I can assure you that if this continues unabatedly, this trend of talking, of interacting, the industry will find that we have really leveled the playing ground. And also equally important, we won't compromise our consumer component. At the moment, there is another project which is not stated here, which POSA has just come from Nigeria, where all the regulators in Africa want us to embark on this person with a disability access program. And if it all goes well, it will make what we did in the past year like a child affair, because this is going to bring all the countries in the world to come and see what can be done in this area. And even people who manufacture things will also be on board. So we are moving aggressively also in the international element. When you talk about CRASA, the whole concept of attending to what is called Councillor Stark, what did you call this? Sharing of phones. Yeah, number portability and things like that. We have worked with CRASA, and now this cross-border information sharing, we have also reduced it at CRASA. We have agreed, the ministers approved what we did as regulator in Mauritius, that communication within the SADC region is still very exorbitant. And the minister in Lesotho dramatized that by saying they are landlocked and all the communication skirmishes must go through South Africa. And yet we charge them prices that are not affordable. So this drive to bring prices down, we are not just doing it internally for South Africa, but we have also championed it for the region, and that was highly revered. So without wasting time, I just want to thank all of you honorable members, and if we work in a spirit of collegiality, there is nothing that can beat South Africa. I thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. But before probably I give members, CEO, if you can just clarify page 49 and page 50. They look the same. I've seen page 51 and 52. I thought they look the same. But when you look into them, you see that the other one is talking about secondary market. The other one is talking about primary market. But 49 and 50, what becomes the difference between the two? Okay. No, thanks. Members, page 49 and 50 is duplication. But be careful, 51 and 52. The other one is primary, the other one is secondary. But you might say it's the same if you don't look it carefully. Thanks very much for the presentation. Members, Honorable Kiden, your hand was up. Honorable Murutwa, Shin, Stain. Honorable Kiden.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I just wanted to start by saying, in some respects, we see some improvement. But Chairperson, I just wanted to say that ICASA is still not performing the function that they are supposed to do in terms of law. And the reason that I'm saying that is, if we look up north, and I know the Chairperson of the council has a very soft spot for CRASA and the activities, international activities. The only way that South Africa can lead the rest of Africa if we can lead by example. And it's all good and well that people regard South Africa in the rest of Africa and some of the other developing countries as a country that is very resourceful, etc. But ultimately, the test is out there. Have you had an impact? And I can recall that the chairperson in previous interaction during budget time has said, if ICASA was not there, you were not around, what impact did you have? Now, from where we sit, you've achieved 33% of your target. Now, clearly, if it is the 33% that could change the whole industry around. So on the 80-20 principle, you know, having the impact, it would have been fine. Because then you say you focused on those issues that could turn the industry around. But I am uncomfortable that if ICASA is a fast-moving train, we have seen that fast-moving trains can crash spectacularly. And that is my concern. My concern is if you don't have the systems and controls in place as ICASA, you cannot dare to drive fast because those you will derail. And that is essentially my concern. And I will go to the detail of why I'm saying it. The second point is clearly, in some respects, some of those targets that you have not achieved are not because you haven't achieved it. It's because of some delay somewhere. It is the minister, and as far as policy directors are concerned, etc. So I have noted that, and I think it is important. But my question would be to you, what have you done about it? Have you been like a dripping tap to say, we cannot move because we are waiting? Because in terms of ICASA, in terms of the ICASA Act, you can also give directives on policy to the minister. Have you done that? Have you said, we've done international analysis, and this is what is happening? The reason why we are pointing at you to say you are the independent authority, and you have our support, that we want to protect your independence, but we should also ask ourselves, if ICASA is failing to recover from industry the license and spectrum fees that are due, if ICASA is unable to manage the internal affairs, the HR, etc., and on top of it, if ICASA is going as far as we're concerned, and I would like you to comment on this, you cannot take away some responsibilities from your chief accounting officer, because the chief accounting officer is the person who is, in terms of the Public Finance Management Act, the one who is accountable for anything that goes wrong. Now, if you take away some functions from the chief accounting officer, those people who have actually now assumed those responsibilities, they will have to account. Because the chief finance officer, if I would have been in his position, I would have said, give it to me in writing that I'm no longer further responsible for this. And then if there's any disciplinary hearing, he would be acquitted because those functions were taken away. And that is irregular. And you cannot try to turn ICASA around if you transgress the law, if you transgress the Public Finance Management Act. So those are my concerns. Now, Chairperson, it is clear that ministerial policy has delayed, and we understand that. But I just want to come back to my point about the systems to keep the train on the rail. And I want to go to the specifics. Your internal audit function, page 23, it says it is currently under review. Now, we've heard that before. It cannot be under review forever. What are you going to do to speed that up? The other point, just above the internal audit function, employees found guilty of transgressing the supply chain management. From last year to this year, yes, certain figures were discovered in this year. But what are you doing to follow up? Even in cases where there is a clear sense of guilt and why people resign and flee, have you reported the matters adequately? Are you going to follow through on every one of the officials irrespective of where they are, because the public out there is absolutely fed up with people who are looting the state in many respects. And they want to see consequence for those people. Fortunately, there's a new bill, Chairperson, that we will welcome, that people will go to jail for doing just that. I want to come to the issue of your capital expenditure. You've spent 29% of your capex, and it's understood that some of your equipment is to be sourced from abroad. That one can understand. And we can also understand that funds earmarked for the relocation could not have been spent. That is understood. But what will you do to speed up capital expenditure so that you can get a better score certainly you can't be satisfied with 29%. If you are truthful about efforts that you've made, can you justify that? The 2 million that is saved on unnecessary expenditure is welcomed, but clearly, Chairperson, the problem lies elsewhere. It appears from where we sit that your consultancy that you brought in to resolve your HR management structure, etc., that is a key component. And that's probably going to cost an arm and a leg. But you have to do that, and you have to conduct a skills audit. You have told this committee in the past that you have just taken on board the regulatory functions with the individuals there, etc. But the industry has changed dramatically. And I just want to make the point that if ICASA is not moving with the industry, you will move yourself out of the job. We will be in a position. If Rwanda can deliver and be recorded as having more success without an independent authority, why should we have it? Those questions will be posed. So, Chair, I just want to conclude by referring to the expenditure management on slide 28. I have asked what follow-up on previous years, clear fraud or irregularities, but there's also fruitless and wasteful expenditure that was discovered that were relating to the previous years, although the entire figure has increased dramatically this year compared to last year. What happened? Why is that? Irregular expenditure of 4 million rand has increased compared to the previous year's amount of 538,000. Why did that happen? Yes, you said irregular expenditure of 1.3 has been discovered from previous years, but why did this happen? How could it be in 1 year this, and then you have just increased it? Is it 700%? What? Butch, you can work it out for. Honourable Staines. So, Chair, my concern is really, it seems, what are you doing? Are you working with the Auditor General to get that right? Because the ultimate thing is, we have a concern, you're not managing the license and the spectrum fees, and ultimately, it's going to in fact, in one, if you don't follow processes clearly, in litigation, you can be wiped off the map by some of those licensees who are understanding that there are no such systems in place. And now you want to retrieve previous outstanding monies because it must be quite significant. Do you have any idea what is it in previous financial years that were not paid over? What is the total debt by the industry to ICASA over the past 5 years? Have you worked it out? I believe it must be some billions. We just need to know exactly what it is. Maybe it's not. Do you have figures? So that we know what is the under-recovery of license fees. Why also are you delaying the funding model? Because if you can get hold of the money, you can be self-sufficient as ICASA. You can still pay over to Treasury. We will hear from the Minister tomorrow. It's not going to be business as usual. All institutions will have to perform better, recover monies due to them, and be less dependent on the public purse. So, Chair, really, I can't say that I feel comfortable. We look at the percentage of unachieved targets, etc. It's not an operation that is in good health. Thank you.
Honourable Voto.
Thank you, Chairperson. Maybe I'll be coming from another direction, Chairperson. Not specifically on this, but I'll be coming from the concerns that were raised by Parliament, whether they have been achieved and what is said, because from what I've just heard, ICASA is working very hard, but the issue is that everything seems to be currently on pipeline. And I don't know, next time we'll be getting, it seems it has been like that last time and it is going to be like that every time. I agree with Honorable Killian on the issues of the issues that really are still lingering because of the department or the shareholders' approval. One of the issues here, Chairperson, is about the four programs that have been supported. The programs that ICASA is telling us about, licensing, compliance, engineering, technology, markets, and competition. The fifth one is consumer affairs. I wanted to know from ICASA, because from the overview of the CEO, it comes out that on November 2012, the council as the executive court took over the control of these operations, and of the four core regulatory programs within the organization, the result was that one or two councillors virtually administered all the activities. And to me, Chairperson, it is therefore my overview of achievements, facts on strategy challenges, and highlights of the future plans of the order has been curtailed by this. Can they please explain to us why they thought this is why? And the other concern by Parliament that has been raised is a concern about the current ICASA governance structure, as it was dictated by, it is dictated by ICASA Act. And in fact, the structure appears to overstep its oversight, responsibility, and lends itself into a realm of operation. And the structure will misdirect the organization, therefore will be confusing. If you listen to the report, there is still that confusion. And what are they going to be doing about this? Chairperson, we have got a number of things that we raised as Parliament. And I would just like to go, some of them have been mentioned by Honorable Killian, in terms of program team three that they are talking about. The issue of the spectrum licensing, I'm not going to repeat that. But I would like to ask the chief audit executive was released of a position during the year under review, which is 2012, you remember? And an interim chief audit executive was appointed on a contractual basis until 31st August 2013. And there was an interim chief audit executive on a contractual basis, and at the date of this report, the position of chief audit executive has not been filled. Yes, can you explain to further and elaborate what does this mean exactly. The second one is due to ICASA not having an approved risk register throughout the year under review, internal audit could not perform their functions effectively. Yes. The supply chain manager was suspended and subsequently charged with alleged misconduct and disciplinary proceedings were instituted. He then resigned. What is the status of the report? And has ICASA recovered its money from him, or was there any payment made to the supply chain manager when he resigned? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable
Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, it's disappointing to see that the strategic objectives, the main ones that you failed at are the ones that are most critical, but I hopefully have, maybe it's undue optimism, but that if the right decisions are made in good time, that we will get to the stage where we can strengthen and modernize ICASA. And obviously key to that is the role of the minister in a lot of this. We have a new minister now for, what, 4 or 5 months, and I'm wanting to know, a lot of the policy directives or policy suggestions that you've made have been stalled by waiting for the ministerial reviews or the minister to make a decision or come back, and also on equipment purchases. Now, I wanted to know if there's been any indication that the new minister is seized with the urgency on these issues, on the various plans and projects that you have in place to address many of the competition issues and the transition to digital broadcasting. If you can please give us some indication on that. I'm also concerned about the human resources issue. Now, that has been a criticism of ICASA for many years, that it doesn't have the adequately skilled resources. And I was surprised to see here in under improved operational processes, one of your targets not achieved was the new HRM system. And the request for quotations went out 3 times, was this right? Selection service provider compiled the terms of reference was advertised 3 times. Was this because you didn't know what you want or because your requirements kept changing? But then only one company responded. Please can you give us some insight into what the problem is with what you're looking for and why it seems so difficult to find the appropriate people. There's also a lot of reports that you have said that you have prepared that we don't have sight of, which would be actually great to see. One of which is the one on, I think it was USASA and the service obligations, the impact of, and that also bears on the post office, I think it was as well. Because there was, sorry, I'm trying to just get to all my bits of paper here. Recommendations to support introduction of electronic postal services and also on achieving its universal service obligations. Now, obviously, the withdrawal of funding for the post office to deliver service obligations has now fallen away. Is this report that you've done, what's happened to it? Is it going to inform any interim budget decision that might help rescue that? Also on local loop unbundling, now we know Telkom says that it's not going to give up the local loop. There's also some people who say that the local loop actually is so old that no one really wants it anymore, and with the increase of wireless broadband, who needs a local loop anyway? What are your views, please, on what is happening there and what should be done with the local loop? There are some other questions, but we'll leave them for a second round.
Honourable Sting.
Thank you, Chairperson. I have largely been covered by my colleagues coming in at the tail end. But there are a number of issues that perhaps have been mentioned that I just want to cover again, Chair. And I want to start off with the CAPEX under expenditure. I recall last year they were pleased for additional funding. And in fact, in the report, the photocopied annual report on page 17, mention is made that no further additional funding requested during 2012-13 was made available to the authority. Now, I honestly have to ask, is it any wonder that no additional funding that you request is made available if you don't spend what you've been given already? It was, and it's notable that this time round there has been no request, certainly to this committee, for a plea for additional funding. Now, if I look at your presentation on page 27, I think this is somewhat, it's correct and it's true, but it's somewhat, it can be misleading, and I don't know if this was deliberate. On projects and CAPEX, actual expenditure was 71%, less than budget. Now, I purposely paused there, because that is how one can read it. I mean, it would have made sense to just say it was 29%, less than budget. So when one reads it very quickly, you say, oh, they spent 71%, which is still less than budget. But in fact, the 71% that was unspent. And I want to draw to your attention that the way I read it here, it's almost that if we're in a hurry and we got lots of other things in our minds, it's meant to be misleading. But again, 71% of your CAPEX budget is quite serious, given the role that you play. And I understand some of the reasons, but I do believe that more effort must be made to at least spend your CAPEX budget. You've got particular things that you've allocated to it. There are some reasons for having not spent it. But I guarantee you, if you come before another committee and you ask for more money, given the history and given the facts, it's going to be difficult to convince any other committee or treasury probably even to give you more money. So that is a cause for concern. Now, I want to link that to your targets and your achievements. Again, I am extremely concerned that when I looked at last year's report, a lot of the targets were carried over from the previous year. This time round, we have exactly the same thing again. And during the reporting there, it was indicated not achieved, but it's somewhat now achievement has been achieved during this new financial year. But that is not the purpose of having a budget and having particular targets for any particular financial year. It's not going to help us if more than half your targets are carried over to the following year, and yet you achieve, particularly with your operating expenditure, that gets spent. So in my mind, we're actually taking one step forward and two or three steps backwards. We need to, and I mean, we went to great time and consideration when we looked at your strat plan, and in fact, together with you, reduced your targets so that they were identifiable, what we thought were more achievable, and you come before us now and you haven't achieved it. Now, I'm talking very generally because some of them, yes, there are genuine reasons why they have not been achieved, and my colleagues spoke about that. But if one looks at the overall picture, then it is not a good picture. And I obviously don't want to go through the similar process that we went through last year. But I need to express my dissatisfaction, particularly when it comes to equipment that needs to be sourced and bought. Then I want to look at, and maybe I've spoken about this already, I want to talk about, I just see I've got a note here on pages 19 and 20, and I'm referring once again, I'm primarily going to refer to the copy of the annual report. And that was what I was talking about. Let me go on to page 26. I've got a note there about some. Yes, I've just got a question on that. You've settled a claim with CENTEC for 43 million. That was the settlement. I'm just wondering what was the original claim for, if the settlement was 43 million. If you could just give us some a figure there, if you do have it. Then on page 31, on 31 complaints. Again, if you could very generally tell us what is the status about the 105 outstanding complaints, which is quite a large number given the total number that was for that particular financial year. Let me very quickly, Chairperson, go to page, let me see what have I got on 54 here. I haven't made a note. I'm not going to touch on 54. Those are the targets. I've spoken about that. I share the Honourable Killian's concern about the delegation of certain powers, which you've spoken about in your presentation, from the Chief Executive Officer to Council. I think that needs to be, you need to rethink that. Because where I differ from the Honourable Killian is that even if the Chief Executive, I think, gets a letter stating that he's now absolved of that responsibility, and she did touch on it, it's still not legal. That letter would not be legal and would not absolve him if one actually applied the PFMA. So I make a plea that you relook at that. My colleagues have spoken about the Auditor General's report. And I want to touch on the wasteful expenditure, and perhaps I'm going to answer the Honourable Killian somewhat to one of her questions. You did indicate that a large portion of that is from prior years, so it's in fact not that big jump from last year to this year. But when I look at some of that wasteful and irregular expenditure, I wonder why, I want to see if I can find it. Because some of it is, for example, where you paid VET to somebody who was not VET registered. I think two of those instances. Now, you know, if I'm a supplier and I'm not VET registered, I would imagine that, first of all, when you gave me a contract, you were aware of it, or you should be. You should be aware of it. So I don't understand how VET is paid when I'm not a VET registered for VET. But given that that is an oversight, surely, the minute it becomes, you become aware of it, you inform the supplier, you give him, and be generous, and I'm saying 14 days is generous, to return that money, because if that supplier doesn't return it, it's theft, it's criminal. Why does it take so long to recover these monies? If that supplier doesn't react within 14 days, and like I say, I'm being generous, then it's a criminal offense. So there are two instances, I think, that I've read about here, which is the larger amounts of the wasteful expenditure. So my question really is, why must it take years to resolve something like this? Because ultimately what's going to happen, you're going to, like you've done, which I'm also not very happy with, you are not able to recover outstanding license fees or whatever, and then it becomes written off. So you're sending out the message that if I stall long enough, you're going to forgive me and you're going to write off the debt. I do believe that you should be more stringent, you should be more circumspect, and that you should act with haste when it comes to that, in your own interest as well financially. And lastly, Chairperson, I find a lack of information on human resources in your document. You've got one table, I think, on page 32 that refers to it. You talk about you give a breakdown in terms of gender and other requirements. Nowhere in this document can I find any information on vacancies. I have no idea whether you've got vacant funded posts and how many those are. And I would have thought that's a requirement from Treasury for an annual report. So perhaps if you could briefly in your responses give us some indication of what your vacancies are, and particularly in the skilled sector, where you've got a strong mandate. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, members. It's 11 o'clock. Let's break for tea for 10 minutes. We'll come and take responsibility.